The following is a lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari at the University of Sofia. Recorded on March 30th, 2007 in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So we thank you very much for coming today. We've been asked to speak something about the secrets of the ancient Vedic culture of India. One of the amazing secrets is that happiness is not illegal. Sometimes in this world, it seems by the culture we live in that they want to make happiness illegal. But the good news is that happiness is completely legal. We are not meant to suffer. The ancient Vedic culture of India understood the spiritual identity of the living being. And the members of the society were trained how to live in such a way that they understood their spiritual identity. The culture we live in now, it teaches us to identify with this body. But this body is temporary. But we don't want to die, is it? Does anybody here like to die today? No, we don't want to die. We want to live forever. But this body is forced to die by the laws of nature. So as long as we identify thinking, I am male, I am female, I am American, I am Bulgarian, then we are putting ourselves in a situation where we have to suffer. That's why the ancient Vedic culture of India had a very good idea. By teaching the spiritual identity of the self. That self which never gets old, never gets sick, and never dies. If you could become death-proof, that would be a very wonderful thing. Just imagine if you were invincible, that if you couldn't be killed by anything. That is the secret wisdom of the ancient Vedic culture of India. The members of the society were taught to live their lives in such a way that they achieved immortality. Our modern day society all over the world is emphasizing money. They say in English language, money, 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 sweeter than honey. You see, we struggle like anything to get good grades in school. So we can get into the university. So we can get a higher paying job. So we can make more money. But you know, when I was a college student, it was way a long time ago, back in the 1960s. I was thinking, what is the use of working so hard to make good grades? So I can get a good job and work very hard to get a good wife, a good house, and some kids, So I can just die, and I can just get old and die. And be put 6 feet under the ground in a tomb. And be buried. When I die, they bury me under the ground. And then once a year, they put flowers on my grave until they forget about me. I was thinking, what's the use? I mean, I was a good student. I was one of the honors. I was on the dean's list. I was an honor student. But I was thinking, what's the use of all this hard work if all I'm going to do is be buried 6 feet under the ground? I was thinking there must be more to life than this. Surely this could not be all that there is. There must be some deeper meaning and purpose to life. And I wanted to know, what is that purpose? So I was taking many wonderful courses at the university. I was taking philosophy. I was taking economics. I was studying biology, geometry, history, literature, music. I was taking so many nice courses. But there was one problem I noticed with all the courses I was taking. Nobody was telling me what is the purpose of my existence. They said, what would you like to major in? And I was thinking, how, you know what they call it, majoring here? Yeah. I was thinking, well, if I don't even know who I am, then how can I understand what I'm supposed to major in? First, enlighten me who I actually am. And then ask me, what do I want to be with my career, you see? They put all the emphasis on career. But they don't give any knowledge of the self. So therefore, in spite of having so many different, in spite of people taking up so many different careers, we see that there's so much dissatisfaction. So, the ancient Vedic culture of India, they taught from the very beginning of life what is the purpose of existence. From the education began at the age of 5. The child would learn that I am not this body. I am a spiritual being. My actual nature is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. I am not meant to be miserable or ignorant. I am actually not this material body. Just like I'm wearing this vest right now, and I can take off this vest and I can put on a brown vest. But I'm still the same person. Just like I see you have a very nice yellow jacket today. Very bright and cheery, like a sun, shiny. You see? And I see you have on a purple. You're wearing a purple sweater or whatever. You see? Now, does that make you a yellow jacket? Are you a purple sweater? You see? No, this is just a garment that you're wearing. So actually this body is a garment that is being worn by the being who lives within the body. Now I'm wearing a man's body. But in a previous lifetime I was wearing a woman's body. Now I am wearing an American body. In a previous life I was wearing a Russian body. The bodies are constantly changing, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. But the self is always remaining one and the same. You've had millions of lifetimes, millions of different bodies, millions of different names. But through all of it, you have been the same person. As long as we continue to think, I am this body, then we base our happiness on satisfying the senses. We want to give the tongue something to eat. We want to give the genitals some sex pleasure. We want to give the eyes something beautiful to see. We want to give the ears some pretty music to hear. But the actual satisfaction of the self is on a higher level than this. You can get a little pleasure out of satisfying your tongue. You can get a little pleasure out of satisfying your genitals. Your eyes, your ears. You can get a little brief pleasure. But that pleasure is temporary. It doesn't last forever. You may have a wonderful bowl of the most delicious strawberry ice cream with whipped cream and a maraschino cherry on top. But how much of that strawberry ice cream can you eat? After a while you'll get sick. So any material sense pleasure, it is always limited, the happiness it can give you. So in the ancient Vedic culture of India, they learn how to find happiness on a platform where you could go on enjoying happiness unlimitedly forever. That was called the spiritual platform. And the technique for entering into that platform is known as mantra yoga. Mantra means a sound vibration that liberates you from the false identification with your body. If you're taking notes, that's spelled M-A-N-T-R-A, mantra. It can be broken down into two syllables. Mantra is a Sanskrit word. Man means the mind, and tra means the liver. So mantra is a sound of vibration that when chanted with a focused mind will break your consciousness out of the shell of this body into a higher dimension of consciousness where you actually realize your eternal spiritual identity. Which is full of knowledge and full of bliss. The Vedas give many, many mantras. But of all the Vedas, of all the mantras recommended by the Vedas, there's one particular mantra which is the most recommended mantra. Now some yogis and gurus, they travel, there are some yogis and gurus that travel all around the world. And they teach their students mantras. But they charge big, big money for the mantras. They make a business out of selling mantras. You see. But that is actually a very sinful thing. Because the mantras are given free in the ancient wisdom of India. And these mantras will free the chanter of the mantra from all anxiety. The entire world now is full of so much anxiety. So why we should put a price on the mantra? We should give it free, don't you agree? What do you think? Should we charge for the mantra or should we give it free? What do you think? Is Bulgaria a democracy? It's a democracy or a dictatorship? What is it, democracy? Okay, we'll have a vote then. Who thinks we should give the mantras for free? Raise your hand. And who thinks we should sell them at a high price? All right, it's a democracy, so we have to give it free. So I will give you the mantra for free. I will not charge you any money. In fact, I will even teach you the mantra. All you have to do is repeat after me. I will say one word, and then you repeat it back to me. You ready? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare. 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 Rama. Hare. Rama. 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 Hare. Hare. Now I'm going to do it again. This time we'll do two words at a time. You see, it's actually 16 words. But I'm going to teach you in such a way that you can memorize it just by sitting here in this lecture. Now I will do it two words at a time. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare, Hare Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Rama. Hare Hare. Pretty good. Some of you are chanting along. I thank you. Those of you who are not chanting, at least you're hearing. That's also good. Okay, now we'll do four words at a time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, now we'll do eight words at a time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wow, it's really good. Now we'll do the whole thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wow, that's great. It's really good. So anyway, we've given you this for free. Now you know it. You can even write it down. But this is a special transcendental sound vibration. this was the secret wisdom of the ancient Vedic culture of India. By chanting this mantra, all the problems of the world went away. It wasn't too hot, it wasn't too cold. People lived long, healthy, happy lives. The government was friendly to the citizens. Any person could approach the king and explain what their problem was, and the king would take care of them personally. The whole planet Earth was one culture at that time. This is before 5,000 years ago. That's why it's not in the modern history books. The modern history books only go back 3,000 years. But before 5,000 years ago, there was a culture based on this chanting of mantra. People chanted Hare Krishna, and they realized their eternal identity, and they lived in complete peace and happiness amongst themselves. So I can ask now if there's any of you have any questions. Let's any of them have questions. All right, question.
Вие казахте, че сте години сте бил студент, но тогава ние живеехме в един друг свят, особено тези деца ни бели косите. И тогава да се говори за душа, за изобщо за нещо друго различно от материята, беше наказуемо.
So you are speaking about mantras here, and you are speaking that you are born in the 1960s. But during this period of time in Bulgaria, we were under a communist regime, and it was forbidden not only to speak about the soul, the God, Atma, and everything. Even it was under the it was illegal to speak about these things.
Yeah. Нежелание да говорим за религия, нежелание да говорим за духовни неща се е впило в нас и ние го предаваме и на следващите поколения.
And it seems that this reluctance to speak about God and spiritual topics is very, very deeply rooted in our minds and hearts.
Yeah.
And that's why we pass it to our children.
That's why what?
That's why we pass it this feeling to our children.
Oh, yes, okay.
Дори mm-hmm. този университет се казва Свети Климент Охридски, но в него като че ви да се говори за свети неща с изключение на православната църква, където пък ние някакси така, защото аз съм православен, да искам да разберете, някакси се криеме за това, че вярваме в Бога, ама там почти нищо не правим, докато вярваме. И на базата на това се събужда у хората едно неверие в Бога.
And in the university, it's not widely spoken about religion and God.
Yeah.
It's only about Orthodox God and religion, but it's just a fake thing. They are speaking about God, but indeed they are not making anything to
mm-hmm. be. So what's the question?
Въпросът ми е как да направим така, че по-често да се обръщаме към духовни неща, когато гледаме толкова много реклами, които ни влекат към материалното.
So the question is, how can we address the spiritual things when we are inundated by so many propaganda, publicity, advertisement yeah. of sense gratification?
Yes, we had an experience yesterday. We gave a presentation in one classroom. And the students were very attracted by the subject matter. But the teacher complained, "You have made it too popular."
Популяристично.
She did not like that we had presented something that was so attractive. So I was thinking, well, what can I do to make it less attractive? Like, let's say you had a Rolls Royce car, a beautiful brand new Rolls Royce. What could you do to make it less attractive? Well, I guess you could throw some dirt all over it. You know. But still, even a dirty 2007 Rolls Royce would attract everyone. If I gave you a 2007 Rolls Royce Silver Cloud, would you make your day? Even if it had dirt all over it, I mean, you know. So that's the problem I face, that the teacher was unhappy that what I spoke was so attractive. And I was thinking, well, how can I present it in such a way that it's, you know, it's ugly and it's, you know, it's bland, you know, like the communist era, you know. How can I make it bland and ugly and dreary, you know? So I can blend into the walls, the old dreary walls, the hall, you know. But I couldn't figure out any way to do that. I mean, I was really thinking, what can I do? Because, you know, how to make it ugly and not attractive. I was just thinking, how can I do that? Then I realized actually what they're doing is they're trying to make happiness illegal, even now. I told one of our local members of our society here that how the teacher wasn't happy that I had made such a wonderful, attractive presentation to the students. And he told me, yes, back in the 60s, we had had one gathering where we had chanted Hare Krishna mantra, the gathering. In those days, it was completely illegal. It was, you know, you couldn't do that during the communist era. You couldn't chant Hare Krishna. So it was completely done in secret, but the neighbors could hear what was going on, you see. So the neighbors complained to the police. And they explained the horrible crime that had been committed. They said everybody came out of the meeting with big smiles on their faces. They were all so happy. And that's what was considered bad, you see. The fact that they were so happy, that was illegal, you know. You can't be happy. Not supposed to be happy, that's illegal. So anyway, what can you do if you're happy? You see a world where so many people are unhappy. You just naturally want to share it with everybody. So that's what I do. I've been doing that ever since 1971. Myself and my wife here, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. We're regularly traveling all over the world to share this wonderful happiness of Hare Krishna mantra with everyone. This ancient secret treasure of the Vedic culture of India, which was long forgotten, is now being revealed everywhere to everyone. Even though this mantra is easily worth 1 million euros, we are giving it free. And we're very happy that you have come today to hear our presentation. We have any other questions?
Can you juxtapose the prayer of the Christians and the Hare Krishna Mahamantra?
Yes, yes. Actually, any names of God are very good. Just like in Christianity, people like there is an Orthodox prayer. They chant the Jesus. It's called the Jesus prayer. That is also very good. We are not introducing a religious sect. But we are teaching the science of God. Whether one is a Hindu or a Christian, it is the same sign. The Christian, he can chant the holy name of Christ. And he can also get that awakening of divine consciousness. So we are not trying to convert anyone from one religion to another. We are trying to encourage everyone to regularly chant the holy names of God. According to your own religion. And try to live a very pious life, free from sin. If you can do those two things, you can regularly chant God's names every day. And you can live a life free from sin as far as possible. Then you will awaken your spiritual identity within your heart. So this is a Christian, here you are Christian people, so we encourage you to chant the holy name of Christ. Or if you're not inclined to do that, you can chant Hare Krishna. Whatever, but chant the names of God. That's our point. Okay? Yes.
So you said that 5,000 years ago there was one culture and everyone was happy. She's asking, is it that everyone chanted Hare Krishna? And if yes, why they stopped to chant Hare Krishna and why we are now unhappy?
Yes, well, the Krishna, the culture of Krishna consciousness flourished throughout the world up to 5,000 years ago. But then, just as the seasons change, there is spring, there is summer, there is fall, autumn, and there is winter. So 5,000 years ago, the age of Kali came, which is the dark winter age of godlessness. In this age, religion became very much diminished. It was also divided into different groups who started fighting with each other. Before 5,000 years ago, there was one religion in the world, to love God. But and this is an age called the age of Kali, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. We see in this age, even in the name of God, people kill one another. And are cruel to one another. That is not real religion. Real religion means to love God and to love all of His children. That's religion. Did that answer your question? Yes or no? If not, then...
Okay, she was asking is why people stop to chant this mantra, and if people
the reason people stopped is that we entered into a materialistic age when people became godless.
Is it possible in this age when a person chants this mantra, he won't be influenced by this bad era?
He won't what?
He won't be influenced by this bad
age. Yes, that's right. If one chants the holy names of God, then one will become immune to the materialistic influence of this age. The holy names of God are an inoculation against the material atmosphere. So you should inoculate yourself every day by chanting God's name. And then you can remain pure and spiritual even in the material age of Kali. Any other questions?
What is your understanding about God?
Yes. God is the Supreme Person. God is the origin of all that exists. And because within the creation of God, so many persons exist, therefore the source of all that exists must also possess personality. The atheist will argue there is no supreme person. But that is actually illogical. Because in this world we see everyone has different degrees of wealth. One man has no money. Another man has a little money. Another man has even more money. But if you can find that person who possesses more wealth than anyone else in the whole universe, that is God. He is supreme in every way. He is more powerful. He is more wealthy. He's more beautiful, he's more renounced, he's more knowledgeable, and he's more famous than anyone else. That is God. If you find that person who has more power, more beauty, more renunciation, more knowledge, more wealth, and more fame than anyone else, that is the Supreme Person. And that is God. Many people nowadays say that God is impersonal. But that is not the correct understanding. He has an impersonal nature. But his original feature is he is a person. Just like you have a father, your father has a father. That is known as your grandfather. And then your grandfather also has a father. That is known as your great grandfather. And then your great grandfather also has a father. He is your great great grandfather. So if you go back to the great 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 grandfather, all the way back to the original father, that is God. That is God. So who can deny they have a father? And who can deny that their father has a father? And who can deny that their father's father has a father? This is scientific fact. So we simply have to go back to that original father. And then we have discovered God. So God is real. He's just as real as your father. He's not imagination. That's a very nice question. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You have any more questions? All right.
Nowadays there are very many experiments on the sound vibrations, which are scientifically proved.
What is?
Scientifically proved.
Scientifically proved.
Yes. And the mantra you're speaking of is essentially it's a sound vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say something about the scientific experiments, researches on this mantra?
Oh, okay. Actually, you can make the best thing to do. You can take the result of the experiments of others. That is called second-hand knowledge. But if you will perform the scientific experiment on yourself, that is called first-hand knowledge. So actually thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have performed this scientific experiment of chanting Hare Krishna. To see what is the result. And they have experienced amazing things. These things are so subtle and so spiritual, they cannot be measured by any material instrument. In other words, the equipment used in modern science is on a gross level. This is beyond the instruments of modern day science. The modern day instruments aren't accurate enough to actually read the subtle effects of the mantra. But there is one scientific instrument which is subtle enough to read the effects of the mantra. That instrument was not invented in any laboratory. That instrument is a gift of God. Can you guess what is that instrument? That instrument is your consciousness. Your consciousness is actually a scientific device. Given by God. So if you will perform the experiment on yourself of chanting the holy names of God on a regular daily basis, while at the same time giving up sinful activities, you will get the scientific evidence to verify the potency of the mantra. I won't have to give you any scientific data to prove the power of the mantra, because you will be tasting it yourself within your own consciousness. Next question. Yeah.
Can we search God when we don't know our real identity? Because yeah. Nowadays we are bombarded by different movements, yeah. religions, everything. So he wants to know how can we search God if we don't know who we are.
The bona fide spiritual master gives knowledge to the student. He tells them that you're not that body. That actually your real identity is that you're an eternal spiritual being. And that you are part of God. And then he will give you the mantra. And teach you how to chant the mantra. So that you will realize not only your own personal identity, but you realize God and your own your relationship with God. That will become realized by you. Actually, it all becomes realized at once. Just like on the dark moonless night, you can't see anything. But when the sun comes up in the morning, you can see yourself. And you can see everything all around. So, by the power of chanting the mantra, you will realize you're who you are. You realize who is God. And you'll understand what is my relationship with God. At one time, it'll all become realized. You simply have to chant the mantra, that's all. Any other questions? Yeah.
Чувал съм, че голяма част от текстовете на Битълсите, които са към доброта, към просперитет, са повлияни от ведическата култура. Нещо по този въпрос би могъл да ни каже.
He has heard that most of the Beatles songs they composed are about prosperity, about God and spiritual topics.
Who's?
So, Beatles. The Beatles.
God, no. They talk about boy and girl. George Harrison wrote a few spiritual songs. Yeah.
So can you tell something more about this? How about this? About their influence? Some spiritual songs about Beatles.
About the influence of.
About the spiritual songs of Beatles.
Yeah, so George Harrison wrote a very nice spiritual song called My Sweet Lord. It's a very nice song because he's expressing the desire to the Lord that I want to see you, I want to be with you. He expressed a very, very strong hankering to be and to be with and to see God. And this is a very nice mood, actually.
Yeah.
And the end of the song, and then you hear in the background, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He put the Hare Krishna mantra in My Sweet Lord. You can hear the Hare Krishna mantra in the background.
Yeah.
That's very nice. So now we have brought some nice sweets. You can pass out these little treats. Distribute to everyone. We brought some nice cookies, I think. So you can enjoy some nice cookies. Does anybody else have questions?
something more.
One
social question. So our society is based on Christian values. Our society is based on Western values.
Western
values.
Values, okay.
One of the most important values is the freedom. So based on the talents we have,
We have talents.
Right. So we have to develop these talents. And one of the other values in a Western society is to be to cooperate with other people also.
Yeah.
Вашия начин на живот не насърчава ли пасивност?
He's asking, is your way of life is encouraging passive
living? Pacifism?
Yeah, passive. No, passive.
Peace?
Passiveness.
No, encouraging
active.
What word?
Not active, but passive. Not active, but passive.
There is passive and active.
Passive and active.
Yeah, passive.
Какво отношението ви към материалния напред?
What is your attitude toward the material progress?
Yes. If the material progress is combined with spiritual wisdom, then it is very good. If you try to have material progress without God, then that is not good. But if you will take material progress and offer it in the service of God, then it is very good. But if you try to use material progress to kill God, that is very bad.
So it depends on our consciousness. He's saying.
Yes.
Da.
Yes. What depends?
It depends on our
consciousness. What's it?
To quench
that. You explain.
Your happiness.
No.
The attitude.
Of the culture. The advancement of society.
Our attitude in the material.
Your attitude will make you or break you. If you are God conscious, then your life will become a wonderful thing. And if you're not God conscious, you'll have so many troubles. Your attitude, as they say, it is attitude and not aptitude that determines your altitude. It is attitude, not aptitude, that determines your altitude. In other words, you may be very talented, you may not be very talented. But if you are a lover of God, then your life will be successful. So, I think our time has run out. And we thank you all very much for being such a wonderful audience. If anyone would like to check out my free e-course on the internet, I'll give you my card.